would see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour, Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us right now, Pastor Rusty Chatfield, history lesson. Greatly appreciate him preparing lesson plans for us every Friday. Got a good one for us. What name is correct? Was it the Civil War or was it the war between the states? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, it is, in a way, listeners may say, oh, that's irrelevant. Well, it's kind of what I used to think, but there is a way of thinking now, and it's revisionist history just over and over in every which way possible. People are trying to revise history. And people trying to revive history has been that's what people do after wars. You try to revive history. The Holocaust wasn't that bad. For instance, that's revisionist history. The Nazis were not good, and they incarcerated a bunch of Jews and killed a couple hundred thousand, but not 6 million. And so that's what people are trying. They're trying to revise history. For a long time, it was known as the Holocaust. It's the Holocaust. 6 million human beings exterminated by Nazis. Back in our day, Randy, you couldn't put a swastika on the board. You'd get thrown out of school if you wrote a swastika on the blackboard. We lived close enough to the end of World War II that Nazism and revisionist and anti-Semitism was reviled. But things are switching so quickly in our country that you can be an anti-Semite and be in the mainstream now. It's just it's jaw-dropping what is happening. Now, and to some measure, it's kind of the way it is with the Civil War. But this is a long argument. Okay, during the Civil War, it was known as the Civil War. It's what Lincoln called it. It's what Robert E. Lee called it. That's what everybody called it. They called it the Civil War. After the war, the Southerners, there used to be something called the Lost Cause. And it created a different narrative. And they started calling it the war between the states. In other words, the Confederate cause, and these were heroic people just fighting for their rights. They were just fighting for their rights. And the Civil War was not about slavery. That's what they're arguing. It really wasn't about slavery. It was about the Southerners' correct interpretation of the Constitution, and that the Constitution was simply a covenant between the states, and as states had a right to join the Constitution, they'd have a right to leave the as Southern states would have rights to join the Union, they could withdraw from the Union, and that's all there was to it. Very simple. It was an agreement between the states. In essence, they were saying they didn't have a country. And some good people believe that. I'm not saying that every Southerner was wicked and every Southerner had slaves and every... I mean, somebody like Robert E. Lee was against slavery and was against secession, but he felt that his first obligation, duty, was to Virginia. And then if Virginia seceded from the Union, or supposedly seceded from the Union, it was his obligation to go with the state. That was where his first duty was, even though he didn't want the Civil War and didn't believe in slavery.
Perfect spot for a break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Citizens of Northern Michigan, your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
I'm Justin Michael. For over 500 consecutive days, I've worked diligently to earn your respect by having difficult conversations in every town, city, village, and township in our district. I've driven over 100,000 miles to meet you where you are, at your businesses, in your homes, and in your communities. On August 4th, you get to decide if you want leadership that says they will represent you once they get to Washington, or someone who represents you now. It's time for change. Vote for me, Justin Michael, on August 4th. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation, or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. And Pastor Chatfield, I apologize. I had the hearing going on at the Board of Canvassers right now down in Lansing. Victoria Bishop, Antrim County Clerk, is facing a potential recall. The language is being heard by the Board of Canvassers, and her attorney, Kevin Kievsky, is representing her in that case and was presenting oral arguments. And it kind of cut in toward the tail end of our break, so I apologize for that. But go ahead and pick it up right where you left off. The Civil War, or was it actually the war between the states? And I'm following where you're going, and I kind of understand where you're at, but I did get a text message during the break. Is this basically your opinion that, based in fact, what did they actually call it during the war, if you know? You've read a lot of history books.
Yes.
What did they refer to it, actually, the people of the United States back then?
Civil War. They called it a civil war. I mean that phraseology. In the first inaugural, at the very end of his speech, Lincoln says, "In your hands, my dissatisfied fellow countrymen, not in mine, is the momentous issue of civil war." He said in the Gettysburg Address, "We are now engaged in a great civil war." It was a civil war. Now, after the war, people start reshaping things. And there was some northern historians started to call it the War of the Rebellion, the Rebel War. And people from the South more and more started calling it the War Between the States, or in some cases, the War of Northern Aggression. I mean, if you can shape the language, you might win the argument. But it really was a civil war. And people like Robert E. Lee and others, they understood that. It really was a civil war. Now, was it legal? That's another question. Was what the South did, or the states of the South, beginning with South Carolina in 1860 after the election, was it legal? Now, here's what Lincoln says. Yes, I'm a Lincoln fan, brilliant man, very intelligent. And people, you need to read Lincoln. He said in his first inaugural, "I hold that in contemplation of universal law and of the Constitution, the union of these states is perpetual." It is a perpetual union. He continues, "Perpetuity is implied, if not expressed, in the fundamental laws of all national governments. This is our national government. You can't just jump in and jump out. You're locked in." Now, Lincoln would say later in his address that you have a, he said this is near the end, "This country with its institutions belongs to the people who inhabit it. Whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it, or their revolutionary right to dismember or overthrow it." Now, he did believe in the revolutionary right to overthrow a government. Why? Because that's in our Declaration of Independence. That's in our creed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government. Yeah, you have a revolutionary right, but it's not a legal right. In other words, you can't appeal to the Constitution to have a revolution. It's because it's not in the Constitution. Now, the argument goes like this. Well, true, Pastor Chatfield, there was nothing in the Constitution which said a state could leave the Union, but there's nothing in the Constitution that said that a state can't leave the Union. Lincoln addresses that idea. He says, in the preamble, our preamble of our Constitution, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union," he said, the word perpetual was in the Articles of Confederation, and we wrote this Constitution to make a more perfect union. And if our Constitution didn't make it more perfect, then it was less perfect than it was under the Articles. Then he goes into other arguments that the Constitution is a perpetual agreement among people which is another fundamental argument. We, the people of the United States. And this is a long argument. You go way back to 1788. We the people of the United States. Patrick Henry said, who gave you the right to say we the people and not we the states? He was one of the first anti-federalists that did not initially support the Constitution. Now, eventually, when it was adopted, he did support it, supported George Washington, but he didn't like it to begin with, as a number of people did, because they thought it gave too much power to this new government. And indeed, it created a national government. Article 6 of the Constitution, something called we call the Supremacy Clause, that this Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. It is the supreme law, that it is the most fundamental of laws. Lincoln viewed this, I'll read again, reading from his first inaugural, he said, I therefore consider that in view of the Constitution and the laws, the Union is unbroken. You cannot leave the Union. He never would he receive any ambassadors or any representatives at all from the newly created so-called Confederate States of America. He wouldn't recognize them because there was no Confederate States of America. The Union was, in his view, unbroken. It's unbroken. And here's a fundamental idea, too. See, some of the people in the South before the even after his election, before the war actually began in 61, trying to find some sort of compromise that we wouldn't have to go to war. And he addressed that in his first inaugural. He says, I'm not against. Let me back up. He says, I see that the idea of slavery is in the Constitution. It's mentioned three times. He says it's, and that a state can control its own institutions. And he says, that's implied, not expressed. Seeing how I see it's implied, I would not be against, if you want to put in the Constitution, that a state has a right to have slavery, he wouldn't oppose it. Because he's kind of said, why? Because I can't touch slavery where it already exists. He says, I have no constitutional right to do it, and I have no inclination to do it. I don't want to do it, because he knew what that would do. But what he did believe in was that the Constitution empowered the people that wrote the Constitution and who later wrote the Northwest Ordinance had the right to prevent the spread of slavery, the extension of slavery, but you couldn't touch it where it already existed. And so he wanted to keep it like that, but the minority were saying, unless you do this, that, and the other, we're going to rebel. And he says, you know, we can't do that. And he saw this rightly. If we'd have given in, if the Unionists, the North, predominantly Northerners, almost entirely Northerners, and a few Southerners, were to give in to the South and let the minority rule, you have basically broken down to the whole concept of majority rule. And that is the system that we have in our country, a constitution of majority rule, and minority rights are protected. And he said this is very, in my view, very important. Lincoln said, plainly, the central idea of secession is the essence of anarchy. You just can't leave the country. You just can't say, well, we're leading something up here in Emmett County and we're leaving Michigan. The residents of Emmett County have now declared their independence from Michigan. On one level, it's silly. On the other level, it's anarchy. No, we're part of the state of Michigan. We have laws. We have a constitution. Granted, we don't always seemingly follow our constitution and don't always follow our laws. True. But secession is anarchy. And he said this, and it's so true. Anarchy will lead to eventually, or secession leads to anarchy, mob rule, which eventually will lead to tyranny, a dictatorship. No country, no state has ever existed in a long period of time in anarchy because people will always opt for some leader to come in and bring order. That is always the case. That's always the case. They bring order. You can look at it. The French Revolution, we had what we call the Reign of Terror, 40,000 people beheaded. Eventually, everybody got tired of that. Then rose Napoleon and became a military dictator. That's what happens. In Russia, they had the Civil War in Russia, another 120 years after the French Revolution, 1917. Yeah, it was between the whites and the reds, but eventually somebody rises up, Lenin, seizes control, and becomes a dictator. It always works that way. Revolutions generally work that way. Our revolution was different, mainly because of the important idea, the important principle of Christianity, that there was a Christian moral ethic in our country. We weren't going to go and execute people. We weren't going to do that. And there were very few executions after the American Revolution, and very few executions after the Civil War, as far as civil wars go, because they usually, after those wars, there's a lot of recriminations. Not so much in our country. And but there's a move now, and this is even done by this Matt Walsh. I like a lot of things that he says, but he says, everything that you've learned about the Civil War has been wrong. See, I just don't like it when people spend 3 months, jump into a subject, and then tell all the history teachers of the world that you've all been wrong. You've been teaching the wrong ideas of the Civil War. That's kind of the genesis of this discussion. No, it was a civil war. Anyway, I mean, even FDR called it the war between the states on occasion. I mean, the war, it can be used interchangeably, but there is a reason for that. There's a reason people are moving away from traditional teaching of history. And I am not trying to rewrite history. I'm trying to teach history. And I at least know that I don't know everything. At least I know that much. At least I know that there are a lot of very good professional historians, and I am not one of them. I can't call myself a professional historian. I can call myself a history teacher. I might call myself a good history teacher, above average history teacher, but I'm not. I haven't spent my entire life reading everything that Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or ever wrote or said in every primary source that ever. I just don't have time. That's professional historians do that, and by and large, they're pretty good. Now, obviously, some aren't. And by the way, the 1619 thing, that's just another example of rewriting history. And as you know, that's the teaching now, that critical race theory, that our country was founded by racists and was built by racists on the backs of slaves, and we are intrinsically evil people. That's kind of what that says. Yeah, I don't believe that. That's not what I was taught. It's not what the records bear out. Not true. So I buck against all these revisionists. So it's a civil war, man. That's the end of what I've got prepared. I'm ready to field questions if anybody has any.
Excellent. Good presentation. Good history. We're going to take a break. If you have a question, text them to me, 231-360-5140. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.